Okay. Titus chapter 1, we left off at verse 15, so we're going to pick up there and try to move into chapter 2. I'll just read 15 and 16 before we get started. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and honor it is to meet as a body to study your word. We thank you for recording these things in the book of Titus as we study them, that how we learn how the local assembly and its members are to function in your sight. We just thank you for recording these things for our instruction, for our edification. We just thank you for those who've come out today, Lord. Strengthen us according to our needs as we read and believe your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So for those who had not been here, we've been in Titus, obviously. And Titus is written by Paul to Titus would be an elder. That's just an older person. Well, you know what? I don't know if I can say he would be an elder. He would be an overseer. Sometimes an overseer is an elder and sometimes it's not, which is same thing as a pastor or a bishop. You know, we use those terms today a little loosely, more so than Scripture use it, because they're titles, we think they're titles of prestige. But when scripturally, there are titles of leadership and service. And when Paul writes to Titus as a leader of a local assembly, and he's writing to Titus, and we're just going to look at that verse, Titus 1 and verse 5. He says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So we've been through that. He's sending Titus back to Crete to ordain elders, that is, to put a leader in the place of the local assembly, that they would set, those leaders would set in order the things that are lacking. And the things that are lacking was sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, and that is not just any doctrine. That is the doctrine that was given to Paul, and that what Paul had given to Titus and to Timothy and all those believers who would like sound practice. I remember reading one thing that where one of the writer, he said, "Sound doctrine produces a sound mind, and a sound practice." It was all sound. You know, without sound doctrine, you can't have a sound mind. Without sound mind, you can't have sound practice. And the doctrine that Paul is giving to Titus, what makes it sound, by the way? What makes Paul's doctrine sound doctrine?
It's the doctrine for us for today.
He says, yeah, he says it's not what makes it sound is because it's for us today. But he said it's sound doctrine. And he said it's nourishing words. Even, let's see, that's Timothy.
Which one?
Right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says this, if thou, chapter 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, what? Nourished up in the words of faith and what?
Good doctrine.
Good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. What makes it, these things are sound doctrine, these things are nourishing words, these things make up good doctrine. Flip back to chapter 1. I'm just giving you an idea. When we say sound doctrine, you shouldn't think anything. Chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to what?
Sound doctrine.
And then he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And there's other passages where he explains to you what he means by sound doctrine. If it's coming from Paul, he says that it's what? Sound doctrine. Nourishing words. He called it the glorious gospel. These things, they're all synonymous. So when you're reading and you see those phrases, don't think he's talking about something different. He's just giving it... Mike, what grade you in? You know what an appositive is? I'm dropping English on them. Hey, Maya, Mia, you know what a positive is? What grade you in? 11? Wow. An appositive is a word that's synonymous with another word. It's a further explanation. Like I say, Paul, comma, an apostle, comma, a preacher, comma, a teacher. Those are all appositives. They're nouns to describe another noun. Do you know that?
We do now.
We do now, right. That's sound doctrine, these things, the glorious gospel, they're all just labels, nouns to describe Paul's gospel. Okay, back to Titus. He says, in verse 15, he says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And these are, when Paul is writing to Titus, he's at the local assembly. He's not talking to people that are outside of the local assembly. Now you guys missed a lot where when Paul has to send Titus into a local assembly to set things in order, that's pretty bleak. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, following the wrong doctrine.
Because and Karen and I, we were talking about this some time ago, where in 1 Timothy chapter 3, okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're just going over these things because I want you to get an understanding of what's going on in these letters. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Now, if I just stop right there, we just talked about these things, right? What are these things?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. Anybody else?
Order.
Nourishing words.
Nourishing words, yeah. All those, it's the gospel.
Any
it's Paul's.
Positives that he threw in there.
Any of those are positives, right. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He says, if I don't get back, if I don't get there, if it takes me a long time, he says, I'm giving you this sound doctrine that you would know how to behave yourself. He said, in the what? Church of God. You know, we think the building. But it's among other believers, wherever we are. Because most people, they check their spiritual growth at the door. When they leave the building, everything that the learning stops, the practice stops, the commitment stops, the conviction stops, as soon as they drive off. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just saying the others.
Yeah.
most. I'm just saying it by accommodation. And he's saying, but if I tarry, when you read the sound doctrine, it's still designed to what does the nourishing words do? What are they supposed to do? Build you up. So yeah, when I saw him when I walked in, wow. He has done a lot of growing since I last saw both of them. Well, that's not by accident. That's by design. Well, if God gives you the word, he said these are nourishing words, and he says, I want you to take heed to these things, then they're designed to what? Grow you up. And he says, well, did you eat breakfast this morning? You? Mike? G? Suppose the last time I saw them, they didn't eat breakfast from Sunday to Sunday. Or Wednesday to Wednesday. You think they'd be really hungry, right? Or they might even try to do something on their own. I'm not cooking till next Sunday. Well, you think about scripture. If you say, I'm not eating till next week, where's the nourishment? Or, I'm not hungry. You eat when you're hungry, right? Or, you can, like some people say, I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat to keep from getting hungry. So then you eat all day. So you follow the analogy, if you can eat all day, you get nourishment in all day. But at least you should get 3 meals a day, right? Most of us. So with the nourishment, what I'm saying is this, is how often do we intake? So when Paul says, when I'm giving you these things, he says that you may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church of God, he says, the truth rests on us. He's not talking about real wood pillars. He's talking about people. The people are the pillars. The pillar and ground of the truth. So if the pillars are faulty, the building is faulty. That's why when he says set things in order, I just had to replace some posts on my porch. They were painted, but I couldn't see the rot that was on the bottom until I punched a screwdriver in there, and it went all the way through. And the only reason I saw that was we have a pet squirrel We don't have a pet squirrel, but he he's always, he thinks he's a pest. And he was chewing the post. Every day I can see him in the morning, he was chewing the post. I thought, what is he chewing it? When I finally looked around there, half of it was already, he had chewed it out. Well, that's what's holding up the roof, or at least the overhang. What if I had to go on top of the roof and do some work? I don't know if it would support the weight of it.
Squirrel will be laughing at you.
but the same instance is if the weight is on the pillars, if the edification rests on the pillars, and we're the pillars, the people are the pillars, and the pillars are faulty. When I say the weight, let me give you, okay, you have two teenagers here. You are the pillars for them. If they come to you for support and you shaky, and both of you are shaky, what about them? What hope do they have? They don't. This is a verse in the Old Testament says this, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have been set on edge. You know what that means? Is they've been doing bad for so long that he's up next. What do you think he's going to do if all he sees is your bad doctrine, your bad conduct and behavior? What's next? You can't just say, do what I say, not what I do. So Paul, he says in Titus, he says, these things I write unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, our aim is not to go through that passage, but my understanding is that's what is happening now. Is godliness is God working in you, through you. And that's why these things help you to function properly. There's several meetings today. Well, multiple meetings. When I say meetings, the church is coming together all over this world, actually. How many do you think are functioning in these things?
Not many.
If he says, I'm giving you these things that you might know how to behave yourself, I'm giving you these things that you may set in order the things that are lacking. If they're not listening to these things, what is the outcome? Let me rephrase that. If these things produce godliness, when I say these things, it's the sound doctrine. If these things produce sound doctrine, and if these things produce godliness, and these things, Paul says, is sound doctrine committed to me, and if we as believers are not listening to these things, what's the outcome?
The opposite.
Just the opposite. Where if he says that you are writing this, that you may know how to behave yourself, if these things are not being taught, they don't know how to behave. Where?
In the church.
In the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If he says, I'm giving you these things to set in order the things that are lacking, and you don't get them, then you know that you continue to lack, which means that there's continue to be out of order.
Not growing, not being nourished, not functioning and worshiping and serving as God intended.
And like what Angie said, is there's no edification taking place. Okay, Titus. That's what makes it so important when Paul said this. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now, we went over that last week. When he says pure, he doesn't mean that they're sinless. Pure is just those who have a sincere desire to do what God wants, to know and to do it. And I think we looked at Mark 7, and which was a good passage, because he said it's not the things that go into a man that defile him. It's the things that come out of a man that defile him. And when he's talking to his disciples, because the issue was they didn't wash their hands before they ate, and other things that the Jews considered to be ceremonially cleansed. So they couldn't eat unless they washed their hands, and they couldn't eat unless they washed the plate and the dishes. So it wasn't acceptable. And he was saying to them, it's not the things that goes from the outside in, it's the things that's from the inside out. Let me ask you a question. What do you think those washings were? What do you think the washings, the Old Testament washings, what do you think they were? Why do you think they did them? Because God wanted them to? That's true. Okay. I'll just deviate for it. Leviticus. Look at Leviticus. Say it again. A sign of purification. Leviticus. Just for a... You know, a lot of times I think we know what we do, or we know what we don't do, but we don't know why.
It was also a sign of identification. They were separating themselves from that which was unclean.
Right. Okay. Leviticus 11. And this is we just get an example of this. 11 verse 1. Let's see. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts that ye shall eat. You see that? He says, if it parts the hoof and is cloven footed, which is same thing, he says, and cheweth the cud. You know what that is? Mike, you know what chewing the cud is? You don't? Mia?
Yeah, another.
What?
Cows have two stomachs.
That's what is it? What is this is, which is okay. It's this is the cloven foot, I guess. You know, when you walk out and you see footprints, And you know it's an animal footprint. It's got a split right there. And he says, or if the animal chews the cud. That's the stomach right there, right? When he eats.
He says, and
chews the cud. It's when they eat the grass, that's what chewing the cud, that's what that is. That's grass. When they eat the grass and it goes down, and most animals that chew the cud are ruminaries. That means that they regurgitate they just turn that grass over on the inside. You see horses, cows, all they do is all day what? All day they what?
Eat the grass.
All day they what? Chew the cud. Yes, all day they chew the cud. So, but it goes, my uncle, he used to say this, all day they take that green grass, right? And they eat it and turn it over, turn it over, turn it over. And then they say, Mia, go out there and get some milk. And you go out there and you milk that cow and you get green milk.
White.
What?
White.
Oh, white milk. You get white milk. You ever wonder how that happens? Because that process, the chewing the cud, that rumination is taking place in there, and what they took in is not what comes out. There's something happening on the inside. So when he gives them that, it's not so much as the animal. He says, I'm trying to teach you something. He says, this he said, that's separation. Cloven foot is separated. A separated walk. I want you to walk different than the rest of the people. He says, the rumination, he said, I want you to think different than the rest of the people. This rumination is our equivalent to meditation. So he wants you to think on his word so he can affect what you, your belief and your walk. That's what I'm getting at. It's not so much as the animal. He said, this is what I'm getting at is your separated walk, and I want you thinking about my word. These things. Then I give you these things that you may know how you ought to behave. These things that you may know how you ought to behave. He always wants the same thing. It's just different people. So, okay. He says, if it parts the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud, he says, this you eat. Verse 9. He says, of these shall ye eat all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath what? Fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you eat. Here we go again. He gets another lesson. He said, here's the fish. Right? He said, if it have fins, it go that way. If it have fins and scales, he says what? You can eat it. Okay, why? He says, well, I'll tell you why. That's scales are they're protective covering from the outside impurities. Right? Scales are That's a sanctification. He says, the fins, you know what, they help, they're what help a fish balance. And, well, they don't walk, but it helps them swim. For us, it's a walk. So he's still back to your walk. Or we would say your worship and your service. He's still back to the same thing. You know, fish that don't have scales. You ever had a catfish and you said, you know what, this tastes like mud. Because it's a scavenger. It feeds on dead things, and the impurities that it takes in, that's how it's absorbed into the skin. They don't have a way to expel it. It goes through the skin, and all of it is not out. You think, well, God said this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Become. Confirmation, transformation. But they use the fins to help them balance, to help them swim. It's in their walk. You ever, when you read in the Old Testament or something, you hear a phrase like this. He says, and David or whomever this person was, they walked, they were perfect with the Lord, and they turned not to the left or to the right. You ever heard that before? They were what? So he gives you examples. You know that God is not concerned about food, because today he says you could do what? You can eat anything you want to, because it's sanctified by
prayer and thanksgiving.
It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. God says, look, you can eat now. I'm telling you this. You can eat, not me, but God is saying, you can eat anything you want to. Where before he was giving them.
We don't have the object lessons anymore. We have the completed word.
Because, you know. Okay, let's go a little. One more. He says, verse.
So that lobster I have.
43. Yes, that lobster was okay. 43. Leviticus 11:43. He says, and that's not just that. He talked to them about their clothing, about sowing different seeds together, a whole list of things that he was, this is why he did it. Verse 43, he says, ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore, what? 44.
Sanctify
yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be what?
Your God.
Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law. This is the law of the beast and the fowl of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. This is the law. This is the law. He says, I'm doing this because I don't like catfish. I don't like seafood. He says, I'm doing this, 47, to make a difference between the unclean and the between the clean and the unclean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. He says, I'm doing this to make a difference. And it wasn't so much as in the foods as in to make a difference what? In them. He says, if I give you these things and you do the opposite, if I give you these things and you do the opposite, he says, it makes you what? Unclean. And he says, if you do these things, he says, you become an abomination. You give them the law. So the opposite, if you do the opposite of what God wanted, he says you become what? Unclean and an abomination. Isn't it funny that you see Titus using the same terminology? He says to them that are defiled, he said to them that are pure, you remember that? You remember what we said about all things? Anybody remember that?
All things versus in all things.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. You do? Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. What did I say?
I remember it. I didn't say I could quote it.
That's all right. I'm going to tell you in a minute. All things is pertains to doctrine. When you get when you see that word, when Paul uses this, he says all things, these things, he's talking about the doctrine.
In all things is moral behavior, all things.
In all things. Right. In all things that you get in your practice. All things, doctrine. In all things, practice. So when he says you back to Titus. We go back to Titus. Now this, I hope I'm not being, you might look at that and say, you know, that's too technical. You think when they were, you think when they were eating the foods?
No, this is
that God,
this is human material.
What do you think when they were eating those foods, where they say, come on, Jehovah, just a fish and just a shrimp. What harm could it be? What difference does it make if I have some catfish? He said, is it really that serious? Is it?
I should look back to the lesson of Adam and Eve.
He said, are all these things really that important? Johnny, does it really matter? If I'm hungry, does it really matter as long as I eat? Right? As long as I go to church, as long as we know we hear the praise the Lord, we hear the music, we thank God for what we got. Isn't that's enough, right?
It's not nourishing.
We don't have to listen to that. We don't have to do that, do we? Do we? Is it really that important?
Of course it is, or you wouldn't have said it.
Don't you think it's some people back there that ate what God told them not to eat? Why?
Unbelief.
They didn't pay attention to it.
They didn't care.
They didn't care. Right. So God says, you know what? It's okay. I understand. Do you think he said that?
No.
Why not?
Because he gave them His will.
See, you read this. He said in Mark 7, he says, you back to the washing. You very well reject the commandment of God to keep your tradition. You don't want what I want. You want what you want. And okay, Mark 7. Hold your hand in Titus. We're gonna get back to Titus. Okay. Hold your hand in Titus. Back to Mark. Chapter 7. Same principle. Mark 7. He says 7:13. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. And then he throws this in. If any man have ears to hear, what? Let him hear. I love that. He says, watch this. This is our... I'm just doing this by accommodation. Okay. He says, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said, unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly it goes, and out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles him. So he said, look, he says, why can't what's going into the man defile him? It's either he believes or he doesn't. He said, you know what? How many times do you hear bad things that you should do from without?
All day.
How come you don't do them all?
It's what's in your heart.
Because your heart is the what? It's the guard. It's what keeps you from practicing those things. You say, you know what? I don't want. Why don't you could do that? I know I could do that. I don't what?
Want.
I don't want to. Why not? Because I don't have a desire to do those things. He says, so what comes in doesn't defile a man. Whatever comes out, that's generated from here.
The true you,
yes. And I like that, yes. The true you, that's where it's coming from. So, you know what? The true you That's the old man. That's the true you. And God is saying, he said, I've taken care of him, the old man. He said, now the true you is the new you.
And who I say you are.
And I, who I say you are. Now, if you want to do those things, he says, that makes you, you become now pure. He says, the pure is a positive, the same thing as a believing person. Titus. He says, verse 15, unto the pure, okay, 14, let's go back for good measure, 14. He says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that do what?
Turn from the truth.
Sound like Mark, don't it? The only way it can turn from the truth is how? If I hear Jewish commandments and fables, the only way that can turn me from the truth is how?
It's to believe them.
It's to believe them, and the way I would believe them is because
the way it affects my behavior.
Okay. The only way you do it is because that's what I want to do. If you see, if you have that choice between what God wants and what I want, then you make the, you make it. That's why he says, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. If you really want to do what God wants, he said, look, don't listen to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from what? The truth. That's why Titus, he's coming here. He said, look, I got these things and I got those things. Which one do you want? And you say, you know, I'm going to try those things for a while. Okay. Let me go back. Here we go. It's me. One hand, I got those things. Right? This hand, I got these things. We know what these things are, right? What are these things?
Nourishing
words. Right. Okay. Nourishing words, sound doctrine. The truth of God, right? He says, I got these things in this hand. Those things would be what? Whatever is contrary to sound doctrine, right? Other things, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. Now, as soon as I come and I says, hey, Mike, have some of those things. False doctrine.
Traditions.
Huh?
Traditions.
Teachings of men, right. Traditions of men. Commandments of men. Okay, just so you know, when I say, if I say, have some of those things, Mike, and you are already familiar, what?
I'm trying to get a picture, so I'd rather redraw it.
Okay. If I say have some of those things, and you know what they are, and what's going to stop Mike from taking these things or taking those things? What's going to be his deciding factor?
His heart.
It's what's in his heart, right?
What he believes.
Now, watch this. I just said that he says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. You know, I think it's a verse in Psalms that says this. He says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Therefore thy word, he said, thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. He says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. He's giving you a contrast right now. He says, the opposite of pure is what? And what? Look at the verse. The opposite of pure is what? Defiled and
unbelieving.
See that? Yeah, you didn't even have to make that up, did you? He told you right there. He said, pure or what? Defiled and what? Unbelieving. You read it right there. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. You say, what's pure, God? He says, sometimes you can know what a word is by knowing what is not. He says, pure, if unpure is defiled and unbelieving, then pure means I'm what? Pure and what? Undefiled and believing. Or what's a synonym for undefiled?
Pure.
Who said that? Pure and believing. He says, now, unto the pure or the believing, he says, all things are what?
Pure.
He said, you know what? Whatever God tells me is good. Whatever he tells me is good. But, he says, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. He said, you know what? God said, don't teach that. You know what an unbeliever, what a defiled and unbelieving person would say? I know y'all having trouble with that because none of y'all are defiled and unbelieving. That's good. They would teach whatever they want to. That's why he said the commandments of men that turn from the truth.
Like when they say, you know you're not saved by baptism, but we're going to do it as an outward expression.
But they find a way around it, don't they?
Yeah.
Whatever the doctrine is, they'll find a way to teach it. Because, and apply it to you. Because whatever, see today, it's not, do you know in the Old Testament, there were guys that would come to another man in that day and say, let's go serve other guys. I'm a prophet. It's okay. He said, God told him, he said, if a man comes to you who is a prophet and he says to you, let's go serve other gods.
God didn't send it.
Do you think some of them went?
Sure.
Yes, they did. He wouldn't tell them about it if it couldn't happen.
The reason he warned them.
And it's a reason, and they still went. Wonder why? Why did they go?
Because you said God said.
Because they wanted to go. They did not care about those things.
Or, like it said in Romans, they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. They just
right.
That's that out. And
so,
He says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. How's that? They profess that they what? They know God. But in works they what? Deny him, being abominable. There's that word. Being abominable. And disobedient. And unto every good work,
reprobate.
Yeah. Several contrasting words there. So he says, if the opposite we found from abominable is taking those things that God says don't, and don't entertain them, and then you entertain them. Disobedient, you know what that is, right? Reprobate, you know what that is. We talked a little bit about that last week, reprobate. You know, if something goes through probate, that means they got to kind of weed it out to see if it's really yours or not. If, you know, if a property go into probate, that means we still got this under examination. So if you say I'm God's, and then your activity is still under examination, you say, "Well, wait a minute." Now, he says that because you would think that how many people you say that they say, "Well, I love the Lord." We talk about this sometimes. I love the Lord, and you're like, "Really? Do you know the Lord?" Yes, I do. How would you really know?
The person asking the question, or
if you're asking the question for somebody that,
and that person says, "Oh, I love the Lord."
Do you love the Lord? Do you know the Lord? You know, for example, this says, "In that day they shall no more say to any man, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest." You know how they knew that? Because they were all doing what the Lord wanted done. Now, just don't get caught up with the activity. I'm saying this for walking in His Word. Is before you can choose it to walk in it, you have to what?
Know
what it is.
Who's your apostle?
So when it's presented to you, and then you still take the other choice, he says, now, he says, even their conscience, he says, is defiled. And I think we were talking about this last week, is this. 2 Timothy, and we're going to stop. That's I have it in my mind what I want to cover when we get here. It's 2 Timothy. And we did cover some of those things.
Two and maybe 21.
Two.
21. I mean, I'm not sure where you're going.
What are you trying to do?
We're talking about a man purging himself of these fit for the master's use, flee for lust, follow after righteousness, avoid foolish questions.
No, this is the one that he talks about their conscience being seared
with a hot
iron. Yes.
First Timothy 4:2.
He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what?
Depart
from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The same principle we just talked about. Some will go to those things.
So
they will leave.
Says depart from the faith. That's like the man.
They'll leave these things.
Leave and then somebody
and go to those things.
The truth and he still
goes. He already knows.
And he goes
from these things that he knows to be God's truth to those things that he knows that are not. And he says, for speaking lies in what?
Hypocrisy.
What is that? I know that this is the way it is. But I'm picking this way. That's what makes it a lie. You can't have a lie without it's opposing the truth.
And defiant.
He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience, what?
Seared
with the hot iron. You know what iron does? It burns and
you scab over and you have a
callus. You don't feel anything after that, do you? So even though a guy pokes you, you don't feel it. That's what searing, that's what it does. When a man can lie so much on God or oppose the truth of God so much and so long that his conscience is seared.
Feeling.
See, it doesn't even bother me now to tell you a lie. See, and this is where we make our mistake is this. It sounds so bad that we don't think it's happening. You say, oh,
my pastor wouldn't lie to me.
It couldn't be. I don't think a man would do that in the name of God. And you say, well, you know, I believe he's sincere. So I'm going to ask him. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to ask him to consider this. And he says, no, I don't have time for that. Okay. Or you go over there with that. I heard that before. That's not what we teach here. Maybe you should find somewhere else to fellowship. Okay? So you can't argue with a man who's... You can't appeal to a man's conscience who when it's what?
Seared.
When it's dead.
Yeah.
See, you can't talk to a man that will consider the knowledge that you've given him when he's already said, I'm not entertaining that. So when Titus is going to set those things in order, and you know what he says? After the first and second admonition, he said, you just have to move on. I mean, that's later in later chapters. But as we finish this up, my whole point was to show you that the doctrine is what makes the difference. Is everything we read, it's not just for knowledge. It is you have to be persuaded that what when you read the commandments of Paul, that this is what God wants me to know and what God wants me to do.
You can't look at it as, well, I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one that believes this. So what? You're the only one in maybe in the scope that you see now. And then it's your responsibility to broaden that scope. Because there's maybe somebody out there waiting for you that says, you know, I've been wondering about this for a long time. And he's pure. He's looking. He's searching and believing. But nobody's ever come to him and says, have you ever heard these things? You ever heard of these things? And he said, what things? Like that verse in the Gospels, he says, are you a stranger and you haven't heard about these things? And he said, what things? And he said that we thought Jesus was him. And besides all that, this is the third day. And he says, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. He said, these things had to happen. So if a man is, if he has some scripture and he's sincere, he will hear these things. Okay. We're gonna stop there. And you know what? Chapter 2. For real. Chapter 2. Next time. Chapter 2. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We just thank you for the time we spent in it. Strengthen us according to our needs as we continue to study, to read, and to believe these things. We just thank you again for recording these things and for all that you've done for us and what you will do through us, through your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.